When Kasatoshi volcano erupted last month, it did more than release massive clouds of ash and sulfur. It remade the face of the island. KIAL's Anne Hillman has the story.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife biologist Jeff Williams circled Kasatoshi volcano in the service's research vessel. The lush green island he had stationed researchers on for the past 13 years had become a large gray mass.
I mean, it's huge how much it's changed. It's just incredibly large as far as the amount of change and whole sections of the mountain blown out and stuff. So I'm very glad that we got them off there.
The August 7th eruption forced the sudden and successful evacuation of two fish and wildlife technicians who were monitoring birds on the island. Williams says, without the warnings and information from the Alaska Volcano Observatory, and without ADAC fisherman Al Giddens' willingness to go to the island on a moment's notice, the technicians wouldn't have survived. Everything on the island was destroyed. The island used to be home to 100,000 nesting auklets, thousands of puffins and storm petrels, and hundreds of gulls. Williams says many of them may have survived and left the area.
The nice thing about being in a bird on a volcanic island, if it does erupt, you can just fly away. But if you're a chick inside a burrow or a crevice or on a nest, you're not going to get away. So those ones probably perished, I would think.
He says the adults may come back to the area to breed next year, but will have to nest on different islands. Kasatoshi was also home to one of the largest sea lion rookeries in the Central Aleutians. About half of the group has already returned, although Williams couldn't see any pups with them.
That's an interesting thing to see how that life can, you know, come again to that island. And it already is there. It's remarkable how resilient life is. Like you say, we had sea lions on the beach, not at the place where they were formerly breeding at the rookery, but at other locations. We had gulls there. We had some puffins. We had raven there. So there's things happening there. But I think it's going to be a while before things come back significantly.
Botanists estimate it will take 20 to 50 years for plants to repopulate the island. AVO scientist Chris Way Thomas explains that the island is now covered with several meters of pyroclastic flow, or larger rocks and boulders, and that is sheathed in pyroclastic surge.
Like mud, right? Yeah, that's what's all over the surface. It's very soft and sticky, very fine grained. If it's in some places, it's wet. And like quicksand, almost.
He says during the 14-hour eruption, the material moved between 60 to 100 miles per hour over different portions of the island. Kasatoshi's eruption was significantly more explosive than those of Okmok and Cleveland. Way Thomas theorizes this is because of the amount of time since its last eruption. He says the magma sat beneath Kasatoshi for at least 100 years, giving it time to separate into layers. The lightweight, explosive silica rose to the top. When the volcano began to erupt, the volatile silica mixed with the lakes in the caldera, creating three massive explosions. The first two only produced gas. The magma under Okmok and Cleveland didn't have the time to settle because they erupt so frequently. That means their ash has different, less explosive compositions, and their eruptions are smaller. Kasatoshi's eruption was so strong, it even triggered a small tsunami.
That's one of only a handful of modern examples of pyroclastic flows going into the sea and initiating a tsunami.
But by the time it reached ADAC, it was only 20 centimeters high. Waves hitting Kasatoshi itself have already begun eroding the new beaches and recreating its coastline. In ADAC, I'm Ann Hillman.